Hi, I'm Crystal Kula, lead coordinator of MVP Days, and I'm here again today with Dave Kula, Microsoft MVP, accomplished author, and technical evangelist. And today we are here to do a brief introduction.
And Ichiban Noodle Aficionado.
Aficionado.
Same thing, who cares?
It's not an love fiction.
Ichiban. Love Ichiban.
Today we're here to do a brief lead-in to Dave's session at the MVP virtual conference that happened earlier this year.
There were some amazing speakers at our MVP VConf that we did.
So unlike MVP Days, which is mostly Canadian-only speakers,
this one was North and South America.
North and South America.
They had some other ones now that they've run in the Asia-Pacific region, but ours was the North American region and South America region MVPs. Sessions were actually held in three languages, I believe. They were in English, Spanish, and Portuguese.
Excellent.
So, yeah, it was amazing. There was a ton of sessions. The conference actually went on for two whole days of just back-to-back sessions, and us MVPs in the world just kind of dialed into this thing.
So
the
background
is really white. Let's see if people can actually see what's going on there. Oh, yeah.
So
that's better.
He's trying to show you is our lovely location we're coming at you from today is the sunny, sunny, hot, 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 beautiful Las Vegas.
We're coming to you live, actually, from the Flamingo Hotel and Casino. So I'd like to say they're one of our sponsors for the show, but they're not. So it would sound a lot cooler. They did give us a room, so we're kind of shooting in one of their rooms. So unofficially, they might be one of our sponsors. So.
All right, so Dave's conference session was Troubleshooting Hyper-V Black Belt Notes from the Field.
Troubleshooting Hyper-V Performance.
That's not what it said.
Yes, well, that's what it is. It's stress testing your Hyper-V environment. So in this session, what I ended up doing was building a demo-rich environment. And this session actually cost me a little bit of money because
session
blew up a few laptops building the demos. So just as a heads up for you viewers that are out there, when building stress testing demonstrations on your primary demo laptops, you want to maybe be a little bit careful and have some additional cooling for said laptop. When said laptop gets so hot that it's you could probably cook an egg on it, that's probably not so good. So HP, you'll be expecting a call from me for some warranty on my laptop that apparently I have now cooked from my demo scripts.
Uh-oh.
So it was a good thing I had a backup laptop because that happened to me the day before the show. And one of the other things that happened right before we went on the air, Crystal, was my primary presenter laptop. It blue screened on me. And this was like half an hour before we went live. I had all my demos staged. I had all my RDP sessions ready to go. And at that point in time, I may or may not have had a little freak out moment before we went on the air. Yeah.
Just
a little bit. Stress level went a little high.
But everything did work for your session. We did get everything up and running and ready to go, and your session actually turned out to be quite good.
And we were having a little bit of technical difficulty with the conference software, like the conference front end. I had my dear friend and colleague Marcos Noguera. Did I say it right this time?
You said it right.
All right. Marcos, that was for you. Apparently I said his name wrong last time. I just call him Marcos. He's my friend. When he talks to me, he says Dave. He doesn't say Dave Kahula, right?
I call him Marcos.
I call him Marcos, right?
You call him the Hobbit.
Yes, I do. He's a good friend. So anyways, unfortunately for his session, the technology wasn't working. And we weren't able to...
He had no mic for half a second.
The mic wasn't working. And it wasn't our technology. It was what we were connected into with the L Plus system. And then his session deck wasn't coming up properly
for
him.
Oh, yes, that's what it was.
And so he had to actually present dark. So he was presenting without slides, without anything, and you know,
he did a great job.
The show must go on, and he did an absolutely fantastic job trying to fill in the gaps, and it was tough. It was really tough.
Now, so, these sessions are all on Channel 9, so you can
are on Channel 9, yep. And what I've done is I've syndicated it, yep. So I've downloaded it, so you'll be able to watch it as part of our stream as well, too. Mm-hmm. So one of the other things that happened was I was watching the presentation on a projector in front of us, so I could kind of see what the audience view would look like, and I may or may not have thought that there was a 2 or 3 second delay in what everybody was seeing as part of the live stream, but there wasn't.
There was a delay, but the audio was also at the same delay, so it actually came through streaming properly, but he was seeing, he thought there was a delay with audio.
So I apologize for the fact that I may say, and as you're waiting for my screen, there's actually no waiting for my screen inside of this session. Now, the demos rock. Everything's super cool. the demo scripts and everything that I use. If you guys are interested, you, the viewers that are out there, if you're interested, you just hit me up on Twitter, at Dave Kuhula. I'll give you guys a link to where you can download those from. If you don't want to hit me up there, I do believe I've actually got a blog post up already with the scripts from the MVP VConf. And so, yeah, I think with that, let's go take it straight to the action.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's start, folks. Hello again. I know that you just hear me, but now we have one of the best sessions, the troubleshooting aggravy performance issue, black belt. So be careful to not be knocked out. So Dave, it's one of the best MVPs. And one of the reasons is because we have a great MVP lead in Canada, Simran, and this is the reason that we are here. So, Dave, it's me and Dave, we are the two MVPs in IPRV MVPs in Canada, and let's see how Dave can perform. So good things coming from folks, so let's see it.
Well, first of all, let's hope that the demo gods are in my favor here. Marcos, you did an awesome job on the last session. Thank you very much. It's my pleasure today to speak to you guys about something that's really near and dear to my heart, which is performance issues with Hyper-V. And this is something that, you know, we've seen in the field a lot, where, you know, customers are coming back to us after post-deployment. You know, the servers have been in the field for a year. Now they're slow. We've got issues. And so this is what we're going to have a chance to talk to you about today. Like I said earlier, I really hope that the demo gods are in our favor here, because we've got a demo-packed session. Funny enough, some of my scripts that I were running to stress test the Hyper-V environment on my laptop, I actually burned out 2 laptops in the last couple of weeks here, and hopefully my presentation laptop is going to hold up for me here throughout the session. Any of the scripts, anything that we've got to show you here today is going to be made available afterwards. So, all right, let's get going. The slides take just a second to advance here. So some important notes that we have in regards to going through this particular session. The first one is, you know, where can you actually find us? And so my Twitter handle is just at Dave Kuhula. My blog is checkyourlogs.net. We've got a ton of good information up there. Just published my first book. It's available on Amazon on advanced Windows deployment. And we've got some really special announcements that are going to be coming along with this session. We've got some really cool solutions and tools for patching your server environment, all with PowerShell. And so we'll have some neat announcements as we come into that. So the age-old question that you have when you're dealing with customer environments is a typical question that we get, which is, my server is slow, and what exactly are we going to be able to, you know, do about that? often the questions are coming back from the clients that, you know, they're not understanding what the moving parts are in their infrastructure and their solution. And anybody that's been virtualizing infrastructure for a while knows there are a lot of moving parts that are involved, and there are a lot of pieces that could potentially, you know, be sources of those bottlenecks. So, you know, a lot of the clients that we have out there are saying, you know, I don't know if it's my network, my memory, CPU, disk, you know, I have no clue where to start. And this is kind of the context around where this session is going to lead us today. So what I'm hoping to do is just walk you through some of my tips and tricks that I use when I get called into those customer environments. And, you know, more importantly, Marcos just has to mute himself here. He just got into the session. There we go. All right. So more importantly, where do we actually start? So number one, the first real issue that that I've seen in the field is customers not updating their Hyper-V hosts. And, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, just running Windows Update or attaching to a WSUS server is enough. And it's not. There are a lot of specific Hyper-V hotfixes that get published outside of Windows updates. And it's really important that you go and you check the up-to-date list. I've got a link that's on the slide here that you can follow that lists out all of the Hyper-V hotfixes. It's so important that you do that. Another common issue that I've seen is where customers are building with old ISOs. So make sure that you've always got the latest ISO downloaded because it's going to have most of those hot fixes baked in. You're really going to reduce, you know, the amount of hot fixes and patches required. And if this is a big issue for your environment, you seriously want to consider, you know, using Server Core, because that's going to reduce the amount of patches that are going to be required. Or, you know, as the next generations of Hyper-V come around, even start considering, you know, a nano server or something like that, because it's just going to reduce the amount of patches and hot fixes that are there. This is incredibly important, and we see huge issues with this in the field. All right, so what I'm going to do is, like I said, we're going to walk through some really cool demos and some scripts. I have a bit of lag here with the stream, so hopefully I can kind of coordinate things so that the demos and the scripts go well. So the very first demo that I want to show you is an automated way to take and patch your Hyper-V hosts or any of your server workloads with WSUS. And some customized PowerShell scripts that are going to allow you to build maintenance windows, you know, deal with patch Tuesdays, have some automated reporting, put your hosts into maintenance mode for SCOM, have automatic or manual patching for your Hyper-V hosts. I have to point out that this solution is really designed from a Hyper-V perspective for standalone hosts or dev hosts, which are still a problem for us in the field. Cluster-aware updating is obviously a better choice if you're running Hyper-V clusters. And for the first time, this custom solution that we have is going to be made available on CodePlex. We're actually going to be publishing our source code. We're working on that right now. I hope to have it all finished by the time that this presentation came around, but unfortunately wasn't the case. So we've got a landing page up on CodePlex just called patchsolution.codeplex.com, and we'll have some blog posts on this as well up on our blog site. All right, so let's see if I can actually get into my environment here. So this is probably about 30 seconds behind. So what I'm going to show you now is I'm going to actually show you some automated reporting capabilities that we have out of our patch solution. And so hopefully my screen pops up here for me. Perfect. Excellent. So now what we're going to do is I'm just going to take and I'm just going to execute one of our PowerShell scripts that we've got in the environment. So let's just pull this up. We're just going to run our patch reporting, full report. And what you're going to see on your screens in a second is you're going to see my PowerShell script executing. And what this is doing is this is going to take and is going to build a report showing me everything that I've got for the patch solution. Our patch solution integrates with WSUS. It works with Active Directory group policies and scheduled tasks on the machines. And like I said, for the first time ever, this is going to be made available to the community. This is a community event, so felt that it'd be nice to actually give something back to everybody that's viewing this here today. And then what we're able to do is we're able to actually just go view that report in our OWA. And we'll just take a sec for my screen to refresh here. And once that's done, inside of the report, so it's got a comprehensive reporting suite that it's got in behind it. And we can see inside of the report that we've got different maintenance windows for different types of servers and different workloads. I can set blackout dates, I can set automatic patching windows, and this is a really comprehensive solution that's available. And the best part about it, it's 100% free. We've found that a lot of our customers that are out in the field today actually don't use management for patching their servers, surprisingly enough. Obviously, System Center Configuration Manager would be my preference, but the unfortunate reality is there are a lot of customers that are out there that don't have System Center Configuration Manager in the data center to deal with the automation and the patching in behind. So this will at least deal with your Windows updates. Like I said, make sure that you're patching with your hotfixes as well. All right, so back to our slide deck here. So the next thing is incredibly important, and it's something that we've seen a ton of issues with in the field. And this one here is dealing with your hardware platform and kind of providers that you have available on your Hyper-V hosts. For those of you that are listening, please make sure that you're always checking with your hardware manufacturers and make sure that you're always downloading the latest drivers that are supported, they're not having issues, and always make sure you stay on top of your firmware. These have been a real pain for those of us that have managed Hyper-V environments for a long time. Another big issue has been, you know, VMQ and, you know, what to do inside of your production environments. And now, generally speaking, if you're on gig adapters, not 10 gig adapters, best practice is to actually take and probably disable that. And then you won't have to worry about some of the inherent issues that are caused there. All right. One of the next major issues that you're going to find in your Hyper-V environments is they've grown over time. And because they've grown over time, you're actually going to find that you're going to start running out of IOPS on your spinning disk. You're going to take and you're going to have, you know, some type of a disk array that's attached to your Hyper-V farm. You started with, you know, 10 hosts and 100 VMs, and now you've got 100 hosts and 1,000 VMs. You need to make sure that you're growing your storage accordingly and you're really paying attention to this. Nothing is going to slow down your environments faster than taking and having issues with running out of I/O. One of the things that, you know, Marcos and I are finding in the new kind of modern data centers as people are looking at hyper-converged technology is solid state is really starting to find a place in today's data center. And I'm a true believer that, you know, with the price point that solid state is coming down to versus traditional spinning disk, that we're probably going to see a reduction in the amount of spinning disk that we'll see in our data center. And the real point behind this is that solid state can just deliver so much more I/O per spindle than what your traditional spinning disk can handle. So that flash that's there is really a good choice. If you're not looking at that today, make sure that you're taking and you're making plans in your three-year roadmap to start looking at some type of a solid state technology inside of your data center. You're going to get such a huge performance boost. It's going to be incredible. The next one is to make sure that you're profiling the I/O requirements on your guests. Don't just leave your data center, you know, to the Wild West of I/O. You want to make sure that you're taking and you're running some type of intelligent QoS on those workloads. I'm going to show you a script next where we're going to take and clobber my laptop that's running as a Hyper-V host. And one of the VMs that's on there actually has a throttled maximum I/O limit of 5,000 and the other one doesn't. And so you're going to get a chance to see what actually happens a little bit later on in the presentation with, you know, the traditional runaway VMs that you would see. The other one is there's a couple quick ways that we used to try to figure out aggregate performance counters and trying to figure out what the actual I/O that was being generated off your systems was. And there's one perfmon counter that I've always liked, and it's disk transfers a second. That's going to be, you know, close to what you're going to see for I/O. In Windows Server 2012 R2, we have the ability to take and turn on something called resource metering. And resource metering is something that has to be enabled on a per VM basis on Hyper-V. And there's a couple of really cool counters inside of resource metering that I love to use to try to find those runaway VMs. So one of my later demos that I'm going to take and show you here in this session is actually introducing that concept of that runaway VM and now trying to go pull the needle of the haystack and try to find that runaway VM. All right. So something that I've been doing a lot lately is actually load testing and stress testing arrays and Hyper-V environments and trying to find a good uniform way of doing this. And one of the neat ways of really stress testing a Hyper-V environment is to introduce a bunch of load onto those Hyper-V servers. And so one of the ways that you can take and that you can do this is by using the PowerShell deployment toolkit. The guys at Microsoft done a fantastic job building this out, and you can actually download all of the prerequisite components that are required to build your Windows Azure Pack private cloud in a box, so to speak, right with these tool sets. It'll download every single component that's required in order to make this work. It's very, very cool. It does a great job. And so this is one of the things I've been using to stress test environments. So basically what it does is it builds about 28 VMs that are required to build that Windows Azure Pack environment for you. And then what ends up happening is it'll introduce a ton of load onto that Hyper-V farm. And so I've stress tested environments running on pure solid state technology versus spinning disk, different types of arrays. And it's very interesting to take the same prescriptive set of tests and run them against individual environments. So what we'll do now is I'll actually kick that off right now. And let me just pull up PowerShell here. And we want to go to, I went to the wrong folder here. Hopefully my screen will show up here for me. Perfect. All right. It's a little bit behind for the audio compared to what I'm typing here. So what we're going to do is just open up to my installer directory, open up my PDT folder. There's some downloads that are inside of here. I'm just going to run a script called VM Creator, and I'll run a skip validation check on this. And what this is going to do is build those prescriptive 28 VMs. The context of the session is around stress testing a Hyper-V environment. So this, I figured, was a good way as I go through the session to take my other Hyper-V VM that we've got and take and run this against it. All right, so what this is going to do is start actually going ahead and building my virtual machines. So I'm just going to let this run. It's like a cooking show. We're just going to let this go ahead and bake. And the nice part about this is this will actually start to introduce some load into our Hyper-V farm. Minimize this, come back to my deck. Awesome. All right, so the next demo that I'm going to take and I'm going to walk you guys through is another issue. So we've started to introduce some load. We're starting to build some new virtual machines that are inside of our environment. And now we have a bit bigger problem. Your environment's grown, or you're a consultant and you're stepping into a brand new customer environment. Wouldn't it be nice to just get a really quick snapshot of what that environment might look like? There's a really awesome script that's available in the TechNet gallery in the Script Center called Hyper-V Reporting. And I put the link in there for you guys to download it. It's super easy to run, and you can actually run it against multiple VM host servers. So you can run it against multiple host servers in your farm. And it builds a great little report as a starting point, because as you're trying to troubleshoot your Hyper-V performance issues, you really need to have a handle of how these things are built and how they're designed. So let me go ahead and just pull this up here. Just got to go connect back over to my other machine here. Open up another PowerShell window. F drive. And we're just going to go into my Hyper-V reporting demo here. So the script is just called Get Hyper-V Reporting Version 1.5. And it's just VM hostname. What's going on here? Oh, I have to go in another directory. VM hostname. And I'll run the script. And what this is going to build for me for output is this. So I'll just take you right to that folder. And that's going to be on my F drive. Hyper-V reporting, and I'll just show you one of the previous ones that I'd already done so we don't have to wait for that script to finish. Now, the cool part about this is it shows me information about my drives, and so when the report shows for you guys, what you're going to see is I've got indicators of, you know, disk space issues. You know, I see that, you know, my C drive on this Hyper-V server is down to, you know, 4.4 gigs of available space. I can see that, you know, based on what Marcos told us for best practices, that's probably not a good idea to start letting your system drive fill up on your Hyper-V host. So, you know, we can see that there's already issues there. I come down and I scroll through this report, and I can see one of my VMs here is underscore AAMWRDC04. Means nothing to you guys, but what means something to me is the fact that it's running a dynamic VHD and it's sitting at 100% fragmentation right now. So if you remember from the previous session, Marcos was talking about, you know, the difference between dynamic and fixed virtual hard disks. So this is a good example of, you know, one of these dynamic VHDs running away from us and now sitting at 100% fragmentation. And this could be a pretty serious performance issue. Now, this reporting tool is not going to be able to report back on the integration services that are configured for particular VMs unless they're turned on. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to scroll down to a couple here, and I'll find one that's out of date. So it's just going to take a second for things to catch up here. So I'm looking right now at one of the virtual machines in the report called EXCAS underscore CYL. And I can see that the integrated services for this particular virtual machine are not up to date. So this could mean that this virtual machine was migrated over from 2012. Maybe it's just, you know, been set up on an earlier build. But make sure that you're always checking, and, you know, integrated services drift is also a good potential issue as to why we're going to be taking in where we're having performance issues inside of our farm. So I love this report. It gives an awesome roll up for, you know, what your farm's going to look like. And it's incredibly valuable, especially as you start to slide in additional Hyper-V host servers into that report, because now I can kind of get a roll up very quickly against the entire farm. So one of my other favorites that I have there. All right, so we're just going to come back to the slide deck here. The next thing that we'll look at is a concept called resource metering. And this one here is something that, you know, I love, because when troubleshooting a customer's environment and starting to walk through the stack of storage versus compute, memory, network, I'll give you an example. Customers saying that they're having an issue and they think that it's some type of a bottleneck in their network. If that's the case, what's one of the very first things that we're going to do? Well, it's going to be probably going directly onto the switch. Hopefully it's a managed switch so we can actually get into it. And the first thing I'm probably going to be looking for is some flows and maybe some of the counters on those ports. So the neat part about resource metering with Hyper-V is it's free. And the second thing is it's very easy to enable, disable, and manage. So to enable it, we would just run, if I wanted to enable this on all the VMs on a host server, I would just go get VM with an asterisk there, and then I would just pipe that over into the next command, which is enable VM resource metering. Then in order to see the counters that are in there, I would just go measure VM. Now, interestingly enough, the properties that I'm looking for don't come with the default result set that's going to come back from Measure VM. So what you're going to want to do is check the additional properties available for Measure VM. And what you can see is that I've got a value of aggregated average normalized IOPS. I think that's going to be based on like 8K blocks over a period of time. And then it's going to be the average latency, disk read and write. Now, this is so important. If you're going to take anything away from this session, start playing around with this, because I use this all the time when I'm trying to find that situation where we have that potential runaway virtual machine. Now, to simplify my demo, what I've done here is I've created some additional PowerShell scripts just to automate and kind of synthetically break a few things. So let's take a look at our next demo here, which is going to be finding our runaway server. So as we take and we step into the concepts of having to do this, one of the big things to understand is that, like I said, it can be very difficult to figure out which one of those VMs is running away. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to inject some SQLIO commands into two VMs. Now, we're not necessarily going to know which two VMs they are. I know which ones they are, but we're going to have to try to figure out that runaway VM together and try to figure out what's going on. Now, I've staged the environment a little bit where I've taken one of the virtual machines and I've enabled QoS on one of the virtual hard disks to prevent it from actually running away on my server. Funny enough, I've been running these scripts for probably the last week or two just in preparation for this particular session that I'm doing here today. And I found that it's pretty hard on the laptop gear. Like my laptop that I use for my demo rig is an HP EliteBook 8570W with a 700 gig solid state drive. And you can really hear the server starting to work as I start to spin a few of these things up. So let's go back over to our demo server here. And what we need to do is just open up a couple PowerShell windows. So I'll run as administrator. I've got to be patient because I've got to wait for the screen to catch up for what I'm talking about here. So what I'm going to do is just stage a few things by going into my demo script area here. And this particular demo is going to be called my runaway virtual machine demo. So we'll go into here into my runaway VM. Like I said, any of these scripts that I'm providing will be available. I do have to give some particular credit to another MVP friend of mine, Mike Nystrom. He runs a great blog site called deploymentbunny.com. So I love using one of his PowerShell scripts that he wrote that integrates with SQLIO called Measure Disk Performance. So you can go ahead and grab that right from his site. So Mike, thank you very much. You make my life a lot easier to present this stuff when I have cool tools like yours. So what I've done is I've integrated this Measure Disk Performance, and I'm just going to execute this stress testing one and stress testing two PowerShell scripts. it. And after that's done, we'll just run my little check IOPS script here to just to see what's going on. So super easy to run. Like I said, I'll make all of these scripts available for everyone. So if you feel like blowing up your laptops at home, you can feel free. Marcos can probably testify to this, that I was running these stress tests about an hour before this session, and I was able to successfully blue screen my demo rig, so hustled to get everything back up and running. So hopefully that doesn't happen again here. So use with caution. So we'll run that first one, and we'll just let that go. We'll just let this first one go just so you can see what's kind of happening here into my VM. And I'll go ahead and open up another PowerShell prompt here. Just pick off the second one. And we'll go into my runaway VM. And we'll kick off the second stress test. I think it might actually be having some difficulty connecting to that first one. Hopefully it's not.
We like the danger.
We love the danger. All right. There we go. All right, the demo gods are in my favor today. I can see that it's actually kicking off on that first one. So I've got two servers that we're running this on. I've got one that's called MDT01. The other one's called DC01. And now, all of a sudden, my server is starting to lag a little bit. You know, this isn't really happy. Something's going on. We're trying to figure out what's happening here. So what I'm going to do is we're just going to run my little check IO script here. See what's happening on this demo rig that we've got. I'm really not nice to laptops, so it's a bad idea to let me play with yours for a demo rig. I've blown up two of these HP laptops in the last 3 weeks by doing this kind of stuff. So, all right, run check IOP. Perfect. I can actually tell that the server is starting to, this host server is starting to get a little slow, because I don't know if you guys remembered, I'm actually building an entire Windows Azure pack environment here at the same time. So what we're going to do is just let this kind of catch up. So the good news is that this is catching up. It gives me a little bit more time to talk around things. So this server is pretty stressed out right now. Things are happening on it. You know, we're pushing this thing to its limits. And what you're going to see when this eventually pops up for us here is it's going to take and it's going to give us the ability to see the IOPS that are actually being generated. And so when I organize and I go through this set of IO, what the most important thing for me to find is I'm looking for big drifts in either IO, or I'm looking for big drifts in, you know, potential latency that we would see. So I don't know if you saw, I put little sneaky things into my scripts, like for example, waiting 60 seconds because things run too fast. And so, you know, in about 40 more seconds, we'll actually be able to see my code execute here, which is going to be great. And then we're going to be able to go through and see, you know, which one of those VMs is actually running away on us. I don't know for you guys as viewers how often you have to go through and do this trying to find that slow server, but this is really challenging to, you know, try to, you know, figure out which one is there. Why did that not grab my IO for me? Oh, it was in another window. There we go. I got my demo a little bit backwards there, Marcos. I had the first screen sitting there waiting for me. All right. So we can see there that that I've got the maximum IO defined on that DC01 server. Sorry for clicking through quickly, the screen lag's getting to me here a little bit. And so this is that average, that aggregated average normalized IO. And so I'll sort this, and I can see right away that I've got a virtual machine that's called MDT01. And MDT01 is now consuming 50,845 IO. And I can see that the latency on there is about 30 milliseconds. And I can see that DC01 is consuming 3,000 IO. So I'm effectively throttling that quite nicely. And my average latency on that bad boy is about 8,000. So, you know, I am choking this out, but it's done intentionally, because there is only so much IO that your array is going to be able to serve up. And if you leave this as the Wild West, everybody gets whatever they want, Well, you're going to have probably a poor experience inside of your farm. So it's a great way to test to make sure that, you know, some of these QoS settings are working. Those QoS settings are available natively inside of Windows Server 2012 R2. You can just go to either an IDE or an SCSI virtual hard disk, and you can simply just go to the advanced features, and your storage QoS features and settings are going to be there. They're going to be available for you. So I'm really glad that my laptop didn't blue screen for that set of demos. That's fantastic. Thank you, demo gods. All right, so we have got a few more minutes to take and go through and talk about a couple other really great and great resources for troubleshooting Hyper-V performance. And the first one, a lot of you may actually already be licensed for this. If you've got the correct licensing inside of your data center, you may actually already own System Center Operations Manager. There is a Hyper-V management pack that Microsoft provides. It is free. It is very good. And it needs, you know, very little configuration, and you can get a lot of fantastic metrics, you know, out of your Hyper-V farm. A couple of the other ones that I use in production quite a bit is my friends over at Veeam have done a fantastic job authoring management packs for years. And they've actually got one that recently released. I think it might have even been as early as last year. I know they were giving it away for free for a period of time. I know there's a free trial for it. And it's a Veeam management pack for Hyper-V, and it'll give you, you know, built-in heat maps and dashboards and performance metrics and stuff like that. And, you know, it's absolutely great so that you can start to get a handle on your environment. One of the things you need to understand with any of these types of management solutions, they're not necessarily going to be, you know, something that's going to be a magic pill that you can swallow and make all your problems go away. You have to let these run and bake for a period of time. But interestingly enough, you're going to start to find out some very interesting information about your environment, and to see, you know, potentially when you're going to take and run out of resources or have issues. Veeam also makes another tool called Veeam One, which can be used as standalone. If you don't have System Center Operations Manager, you can get this as a free trial. This is a great way to just get a handle on your environment to see what kind of bad stuff's going on. I know I've got a couple customers in particular that were having major contention issues at a period of time on their Hyper-V host servers. And what we were finding is that there were some runaway SQL jobs that were running, and they were pushing disk queue lengths up well beyond kind of desired values, and Veeam One was actually picking up with its default set of triggers on that and was able to help us quickly go narrow that down. And one of the other ones that you can also look at is they've also got a task manager. Now, these are just a couple tools. I just wanted to showcase a couple things that I've got for, you know, resources in my bag of tools and tricks that I've got. And, you know, hopefully these will be of value. I'm sure a lot of you that are out there have your own tools or scripts and stuff like that. And, you know, that's great. So just kind of hopefully point everybody in the right direction. So often when I do these presentations and I show customers or I show attendees these types of scripts that I'm using, one of the common questions that I have is, where can I go to find all of these scripts? Well, what I'm going to do is a little bit later on today, I'll zip them up and I'll put them up on my OneDrive public share, and I'll create a blog post link to that. That way, from a community perspective, you guys can see everything that's going on there. It's very difficult when doing sessions like this to actually dig into what's inside of those PowerShell scripts. But I always like to make sure that I provide those to the community so that, you know, if you guys either want to just check some of this stuff out, learn a little bit more about the technology, it makes it a lot easier for everyone to go through and to do that. All right. So just a really quick review here, Marcos, then we've got some time for some questions coming up. Couple of really important items when you're going through and you're looking at your Hyper-V environment. Number one is, be prepared. have the correct set of tools in front of you. And the correct set of tools in front of you mean a set of Hyper-V reporting tools, PowerShell scripts, something that you can have that will take and allow you to get a handle on your environment as it stands today. So that is incredibly important. Number two, updating your Hyper-V hosts. We're providing our patching solution as of today available for free to the community. We've got the patchsolution.coplex.com site is up right now. It's just waiting for us to finish uploading some of our source code and some of our documentation around this. Remember that just updating your Hyper-V hosts is not enough. You have to make sure that you're taking, you're going through and you're finding all of the applicable hot fixes that are going to be relevant to your environment. And also don't forget to look at your vendors as well. So regardless of what vendor you're with, Dell, HP, IBM, other vendors that are out there, you know what? I want you to make sure that you're making sure that your firmwares are up to date, that you're using a supported driver set from the vendor that they've tested. Because just because, you know, Intel releases the latest and greatest driver on their website doesn't necessarily mean that the manufacturer of your Hyper-V host service is caught up and has had a chance to test those Hyper-V hot fixes. So I really want you to make sure that you pay attention to what your vendors are recommending, because the last thing that we ever want you to do is fall out of vendor platform support with the solutions that you're providing. So the next thing is just going to be, you know, with your network troubleshooting, make sure that, you know, you've got your converged infrastructure set up properly. I've done other sessions before where we've done a bit more network troubleshooting. This one here, I tried to focus a little bit more around the storage side of things. Make sure that once again, you're checking all the best practices and recommendations that are out there. I could say that I'm pretty certain, almost, you know, 100%, that most of your problems that you're having today are probably going to be somewhat storage related for Hyper-V. 9 times out of 10, I'll go into a customer environment, and regardless of what happens, it normally bakes down to the fact that we're going to be out of IOPS inside of that array. You know, we've scaled something so that it would host 100 VMs. Now we're trying to run 200 or 300 VMs on the same array. Customer didn't have enough money to, you know, expand it, or they thought that, you know, just because they had 20 terabytes or a petabyte of space, they could put as many VMs as they want on there. Pay attention to your workloads, pay attention to your IOPS, make sure that you're looking at, you know, storage QoS, throttling those environments so that's not the wild west of storage inside your Hyper-V farms. And last but not least, there's some really great management packs from Microsoft and some awesome third-party tools that are out there and available for you today. So I think with that, we're pretty close to being on time there, Marcos. Did we have any questions that came through?
Yes. We have Peter Cole that asks, do you recommend running the WSUS service on a separate physical box, or can be run on an hosted VM?
No, it can be run on a hosted VM. There's very few workloads that I found that are out there that we're gonna still require a dedicated physical host for. So 99% of the times when I set up these solutions, I try to virtualize pretty much everything we can. There's even ways now where, you know, we used to have issues with virtualizing domain controllers, for example. Now it's actually safe to go ahead and virtualize, you know, your domain controllers as well. Great question, though. Thank you very much.
So we have another question that asking, I work with Exchange and Link. There is a debate on whether NUMA or hyperthreading should be enabled or not on Hyper-V. Can you explain a little bit more?
We'll have to go back and check with the actual platform teams. You can take and you can check with, you know, the Link product team or the Exchange product team. I'm not 100% sure of that one. It's just, the only reason is I haven't done a ton of work with Link and Exchange since 2010. I don't know what the specifics are for the new ones for 2013. So we'll have to defer that. But you know what, Marcos, we can definitely help try to procure that answer with you, for sure. Great question, though. Great question. All right. Any other questions in there?
No? Yes. Do you have any TPM models virtualization suggestions?
We'll probably have to come back on that one. There's some stuff that's out there today. We might have to take that one offline. I don't know if we're going to have time to answer that one inside of our Q&A here. We'll give a few more minutes for a couple more questions. That's an awesome question, though. I'm not 100% sure.
So backing that to the Numa question, VMware says to enable, Microsoft says to disable. Curious if you had experience with setting or not setting up. Yeah. So it's our experience with this. It's depending on the vendor. So and usually it depends on the supportability of the product as well. It's not like the hypervisor in this case that have the problem. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. And the big thing is that when you take a look at depending on what it is that you're going to be taking on and virtualizing. This is really key because it's not as simple as just saying on or off. You have to actually go back and look at the product and platform specific settings. For example, Marcos, in your previous session that you had, there are very specific recommendations from the SharePoint platform team on how to properly virtualize SharePoint. Some of those are NUMA recommendations, hyper-threading recommendations, and so on and so forth. This is no different against any of the other platforms that Microsoft has for Link and Exchange. The best bet is to check each and every one of those individually, just to make sure that you're staying within you know, your supportability.
Yeah, that's correct. So we have another one. Does VMware have similar tools, or is this only going to work under the Hyper-V environments?
More specific, is what going to work under the Hyper-V environment?
Those tools that you mentioned.
Oh, the tools that I was mentioning for going ahead and like stress testing virtual machines and stuff like that. Funny enough, that'll actually work on any environment. It's just PowerShell that's actually that's baking into a VM. And so as long as it was running Windows, I could attach to it. It had nothing to do with what hypervisor it was running on. So yeah, if you wanted to run my stress test one to make more of them if you want, absolutely. There's no reason why they shouldn't work inside of VMware as well as Hyper-V, for sure.
Okay, so there is another great question here is, what are your thoughts on drivers updates which come from Microsoft updates versus the server vendor? Sounds like you are suggesting vendor is the best source, and be careful when accepting the hardware driver update that is sourced via Microsoft.
That is a really good question.
That reminds me our session at Ignite.
Yes, absolutely. So here's the best practice rule of thumb that I always go with,
yeah,
is that your vendors that are out there have to QA, smoke test, they have to certify a specific driver version. So just because a vendor comes out with a newer version, and not even talking about like what vendors, I personally always stick with the versions that are certified by my hardware manufacturer. And the reason I do that is because if I ever have to go back to them with some hardware related issue, the very first thing they tell me to do is rip off those other drivers that are not certified. So this is what I do inside of the fields. I don't know, Marcos, do you follow kind of a similar best practice?
Exactly. So we don't want to first lose the supportability of the solution, and then we don't want to mess with the old solution by himself, like putting instability on the system.
Awesome questions, guys. We still have a few minutes, so if you have a few more questions, you know, feel free to fire away here. Marcos, that was the first chance that you've had to take a look that's the first chance that you've had to take a look at, you know, some of my new scripts that I have. What did you think of some of those?
I will always want to see them. So now that I have the chance to go to to patchsolution.codeplex.com to see them and to improve them, I will do that for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is kind of a call to the community to help us, you know, improve this kind of stuff. You know, I think that's what this whole MVP vConf is all about. It's all about community and, you know, what we can all do as, you know, kind of the power of what we're doing together, right?
Yeah, for us geeks, Christmas arrived. Thanks.
Awesome.
Santa Dave.
Yeah, I don't think we've got any more questions, so I think Marcos and I are going to sign off. Once again, thank you guys, everyone, for attending our session here today. It's been our pleasure to sit with you for the past couple hours. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Bye.